Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along, it's the Friday episode, we are back from our tour. Before we begin, before we go any further, Sam, I'd like to dedicate this episode to Jim the Fish, who sadly passed away yesterday. He was our goldfish.
Oh, no.
He was, I say he was a he. He was never sexed. We assumed, we assigned him the gender of he. He was about 7 years old. He had a tendency over the past year to occasionally feign death and pretend that he was dead and just lie about in the tank. He's obviously been aging for quite a while. But he's finally run out of road. There's no more Jim. He's gone.
How many human years was he?
7. That's
fucking
a lot.
Fucking hell, I didn't know they lived that long.
Yeah.
They usually just die straight away.
Yeah, we got him before we'd even got Oscar. And we've had Oscar for about 6.5 years. So we did a funeral for him yesterday. Mm. We did a slow procession from the fish tank in the kitchen through to the bathroom. My daughter played one of the songs from Taylor Swift's Red album, which is one of her favourites.
Yeah, it's a great album.
It's just been redone today. She's just reissued it. You know, she's re-recording all of her albums. That's just come out today,
so that's appropriate.
Yeah. I'll tell you about that in a minute if you want. But we did a procession listening to Taylor Swift. We congregated in the bathroom, said a few words, shared a few memories of Jim. He used to come to the front of the tank every morning when he would see me because he knew he was going to get fed.
So that
thing about goldfish having no memory is bullshit.
Yeah,
because Jim clearly did.
Things.
And sometimes we'd have a little bit of a dance in the kitchen. He'd come to the front of the tank and see me. I'd have a chat with him. We'd have a bit of a dance.
Nice.
And then continue about our business. So that's the kind of things we talked about. And then Jim was in a glass with some water in that we carried from the fish tank. I didn't carry the whole fish tank, that would be ludicrous. And he was then dispensed into the toilet bowl and flushed away by my son. And that was the end of that. Beautiful moment.
Well, yeah. I'm just sorry for your loss, mate.
Yeah, it's all right.
Sounds like you had a good relationship with him.
Yeah, I came downstairs this morning and I felt the loss. Because first thing I do on a morning is I feed Jim and I put the kettle on. And then there was no Jim to feed this morning. It was kind of, little things.
You get a new one, like after you've left a respectful moratorium.
No, fuck that. Far too much hassle. I'm trying to reduce the number of pets, not get more.
I wonder what pet and realistic suggestions, please, if you do get in touch. Like, don't try and be clever and say something exotic. But, you know, out of the established pet animals, which is the most easy to keep? Probably is a fish, to be honest. All you have to do is sprinkle some of that thing. The biggest risk with a goldfish is not... A lot of people kill them by overfeeding them, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can have a goldfish and go away for a fortnight. You'd put one of them feeding blocks in.
Oh, yeah.
And it just...
Well, what if they just go and binge on it and then die?
Well, maybe that's what's happened with Jim. I don't know. He's had feeding blocks before. And he's done all right. Maybe he's overeaten on this one. I don't know.
Sometimes people can just lose their shit later in life. Like, you get, you know, blokes who'd, like, live quite, like, a straight life, and then suddenly they're in their 40s and they start fucking doing loads of pills or something.
Yeah, midlife crisis stuff.
So maybe Jim had a midlife crisis, and just thought, fuck this, I'm going to go mental on that feeding block.
I don't know if 7 7 years as a midlife crisis. I would, well, it's more, old more life possible crisis. That it was dementia, and he forgot that he'd eaten from the feeding block a couple
2 seconds
hours earlier.
Go by, go, oh, it must be my dinner time.
Yeah, I've bit munch, of a munch, nibble munch. On the feeding block.
2 seconds go by, oh, I think it's my fucking dinner time. Munch, oh, munch, munch.
There's that lovely feeding block, I'll have a go on that. Yeah, yeah, lovely. Maybe. We'll never know, he's gone now.
R.I.P. Jim, we'll all remember you always.
But getting back to Taylor Swift, did you not know that she's re-recorded all of her albums? Or she's doing them one
by one?
No, I don't
know why. Now you say that, that's a really good idea. So that pop stars should do that more, because it's better from a business point of view. I mean, she's different in that she seems to sort of have an inexhaustible, she has an inexhaustible sort of source of like pop melodies that she can just like sort of chuck out willy-nilly. Mm. But a lot of bands and songwriters, they kind of have a... They have a sort of a golden period, don't they? And then something is like they sort of lose. It's like they had a certain number of catchy melodies inside of them.
Yeah.
And then they just get out. And then after that, they just start doing fucking, you know, after that, it's like Damon Albarn films fucking gorillas and starts trying to rap about the Notting Hill Carnival or whatever, right? Because he's written all his... like proper songs years ago.
He's got about five different projects on the go, and it's like someone who does 3 or 4 different podcasts. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just do one thing and like stick to it.
That makes me the fucking that's the fucking makes me the Damon Albarn of what I thought.
But the Taylor course, Swift thing,
don't forget my encounter with him at the cash point in the Euro 96, mate. Yeah. No, but the thing is, she can chuck them out non-stop, but I often think there's these stars and they've got huge loyal following who will basically buy pretty much anything they release because they, you know. But really, to the casual fan, they haven't really done anything worth buying in years. I just think, yeah, it's obvious. Fucking do a re-record of one of your classic albums. People will go out and love it.
That might become more of a thing. That's not the reason she's doing it. She's doing it because her entire catalogue, the rights to her entire catalogue, were bought up about 2 or 3 years ago by Justin Bieber's manager, who is a curious fellow who goes by the name of, are you ready? Scooter Braun.
Scooter LeBron.
Scooter Braun.
Scooter Braun, okay. Nola. Brilliant.
Scooter Braun. And he was the man who discovered and made Justin Bieber massive. And apparently Taylor Swift hates Scooter Braun. But Scooter Braun went out and did a power play and he bought up the rights to all of Taylor Swift's back catalogue.
Mm.
And then Taylor went, right, fuck that then. I'm going to re-record them all again, put them out with my ownership. And she calls them, she puts the albums out now. She's done one every 6 months or so. And she re-releases them within brackets afterwards, Taylor's version. So
it's like a director's cut.
Yeah, she's telling all of the fans to reject the originals and to only buy and listen to the re-recorded versions.
Has she done it like for like, or has she sort of fiddled about with them?
There's been a bit of embellishment, yeah. Yeah. The opinion of the fans, or my daughter anyway, seems to be that they're an improvement. And there's always extra tracks as well, and there's always some bonus stuff in there, like unreleased stuff that she didn't put out at the time. So the general
is she doing them in chronological order, is she?
She's not. No, she's just doing them as she feels like doing them. So...
Mm.
Red was the one that came out today, but it's keeping her busy. It's kept her busy through COVID, you know, and it's keeping the fans amused. And it's bringing more money in for her. So
I like that album, 1989.
I wonder if she's done that yet. Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah. But
for
I like
me,
the recent stuff.
That was her purple patch for me. But
I like the recent stuff, which is a bit more mellow. But
do you know she's like Paul McCartney in that she just has she's similar. She has like that sort of ability for melody.
Yeah.
Like Paul McCartney, Paul Simon used to have it as well, where you can just, they just have a natural sort of, they can just, it pops out of their arses. Do you know what I mean?
Pretty much. They've got aerials in their heads that just receive the music from
I wonder what Paul
place.
McCartney thinks of Taylor Swift. I might Google that.
Oh, I
wouldn't
be
at all surprised if he was a big fan, yeah.
Oh, he will be, I reckon. But do you know where Taylor Swift has got a pad, a rig almost, a retreat? Lake District.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, that makes her even cooler.
She hangs out in the Lake District.
Fucking, I bet she loves it. T-Bay Services, mate.
Oh, I bet she does. Yeah,
that is such a Taylor Swift style place as well. The sort of things that they sell, it's like one of the many good things about T-Bay is that it's really good for anyone like ourselves who are investors in the comfort market, right? Because it is in there, they've got luxury blankets, luxury candles, luxury slippers, and luxury foods, right? Everything in there is about coziness. And it's, but it is expensive. It's quite high end. But of course, for Swifty, there's not really a, I would not be surprised if she's a fucking regular at T-Bay.
Yeah. And I reckon as well, the people in T-Bay are so cool, they just wouldn't hassle her. They just let her go about her business. She wouldn't have to go in with a false beard on or anything like that.
It's like a, it's like a fancy members club where they don't, you know, bat an eyelid if a celeb comes in. It's sort of like, no big deal. Hi, Taylor, come in.
Totally. So, but I mean, if you are a listener, please don't go to the Lake District and start looking for Taylor Swift just to hassle her.
She's
give her
there
some space.
To try and relax.
Yeah, fuck it, like us.
That's like, I mean, you know where my brother Cass moved to in the Cotswolds? Guess who lives in the same village?
Damon Albarn?
He hasn't... No. Fucking better than that, mate. Sade.
Wow!
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Fucking cool. Sade lives there. She's lived there for years. He hasn't seen her. I happened to know that she lived there.
Right.
Because I just knew. Because I know someone else who lives around there who's lived there for years. And they tipped me the wink years ago. Yeah. And I didn't tell my brother. He didn't move there because of Sade, which would have been understandable. But once he'd moved in, I told him, right, mate, are you enjoying it? He went, yeah. I said, well, get ready for this, you cunt. Fucking Sade lives up the road.
Around the corner. Yeah.
Yeah. You it see might, her in the pub.
It might, yeah, I might see her down the local having a Sunday
pint of
dinner.
Light ale.
Yeah.
Aye, aye, Cass. Heard you'd moved into the area.
Yeah, quiz night. Sade is there with her mates.
George Lazenby! George Lazenby! Fucking knew it! Hawaii! Hawaii! Oh no, it's Alaska. Fuck! I knew it was one
of the two. David Niven, not George Lazenby. Fuck, I was getting them mixed up.
Fucking hell. Cass, this is why you should be on my team.
Brilliant. So, Taylor Swift.
So that's Taylor Swift off there in... now, I feel... I don't know about you, mate, but I feel... Thanks to everyone who came and saw us live.
Yeah.
We really enjoyed it. We really enjoyed... so we're quite mean and bullying to all of you when you're in the audience, but that's necessary because we don't like anyone fucking around.
Yeah, we run
but
a tight ship. Yeah,
we have to run a tight ship, but listen, it's just like a strict teacher who... It's like Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds. She loves them, but she has to be firm with them.
Yeah.
So we do love all of you cunters who come to see us, and all of you listening too. But so thanks. It was great. Every single audience, we were like, after last tour, we won't go into it, but some audiences we felt were better than others. Every audience this time, from Brighton right through to the final show in London, everywhere in between, you were all fucking knockout. We came off stage buzzing every night simply because of your like reaction and the atmosphere that you generated. And some people text us, like message us and go, well, you know, you helped keep a smile on our face during lockdown, whatever. Well, you put a smile on our faces every night. And that's not easy to do because we're a couple of old grumpy cunts. But when we came off stage every night, we were like really chuffed in a good mood, weren't we? Because it was just nice to be around all these enthusiastic people.
Yeah, like you just hinted at there. Last time we toured, there were one or two nights where we came off and went, what the fuck was wrong with them?
What's their fucking problem?
Yeah, fucking hell. They paid to see a different show or something because fuck me. Could have joined in. Could have laughed.
But this show was better. The first live tour was good, but we were better. I felt that Manchester was the only night where, because it was a very big and brightly lit venue that was not full because it was massive. That was
still
the only
a good night.
Night
it was a good crowd.
I'm not blaming the crowd. The crowd in Manchester, as always, was superb. I felt a bit as if their experience might not have been as good as in the past for various reasons, but everyone seemed to have a nice time.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear about the row I had in the pub in Manchester after the show?
Here's the thing. A little bit earlier on, I did a tweet and I did a poll. And I said to the tweeters, the Twitter followers, Sam has three significant stories from the tour to share with you on today's episode. Which would you like to hear first? And those three stories are the massage, the pub argument, and the car park people. Now, the winner by a long stretch, 63%, which is the story I'm going to ask you to tell just after this short break we're going to have, is the pub argument.
Oh, so, I was thought it would be the massage, but
well,
fine.
I would have. The massage was third. The car park people was second. So hold tight. After this short break, we're going to hear about the pub argument.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Right, we're back. Yeah, the pub argument, Sam. Manchester,
so a bit,
wasn't it?
Bit of context. In Manchester, I'd had a lovely couple of days in Manchester because I'd arrived on the Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had the whole of... Did I arrive on the Wednesday? I arrived on Thursday and we had the whole day off. And then I'd had the whole long day on Friday just mooching about.
Yeah.
The wonderful city of Manchester. Wonderful place. Always like being there. Got good friends up there. It's great. Mm-hmm. I've been for my massage. That's another story. I'll tell another time. But that had relaxed me. I've been for a nice lunch, I think, or brunch. But I'd gone for brunch. That was it. Late breakfast. Mm-hmm. But like big one, right? And then I hadn't eaten afterwards. Because if you have brunch, it sort of breaks the routine. You sort of like... You're betwixt breakfast and lunch, so you don't have a lunch. And then next thing you know, the show started and I hadn't eaten. By the time we came off stage, I was fucking Hank Marvin, mate.
I mean, you did. It was a recurring thing throughout the tour. Forgetting to feed yourself at regular intervals, wasn't it?
I kept forgetting to eat. I think what it is when I'm at home, I get up early because, you know, with my daughter gets off to school, so I like to have breakfast with her, right? Mm-hmm. So we get up and, like, I'll have breakfast at, like, 7 a.m. So by lunchtime, I'm bang ready by like 12, half 12 for a proper lunch and then I have dinner. But it was all broken because we were waking up later.
And on the move,
I was having a late breakfast.
And I wasn't also provided with the laminated itinerary from your good wife with all of the instructions, the Sam handling instructions.
She was supposed to give you my meal times and my nap times.
Yeah.
And she forgot to get that to you, so it's her who's mainly to blame.
I think you ripped it up and chucked it away because you thought, I'm a big boy now, I'm going to look after myself.
I don't need that. I don't want Andy to know when my meal time's up because he'll start trying to tell me when to eat. Yeah, but if I fucked it up. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. I hadn't eaten, but that was, and you're right, I forgot to eat a few times, but that was the worst time because I hadn't eaten for a long time. So a little bit of context, but... We came on stage, we went to meet some friends of ours, our Manchester mates, in the pub. And it was a pub that I'd actually been to before the show as well. It was pleasant. But when we got there the second time, it was fucking packed, right?
Yeah.
Straight away, obviously, I'm not in the habit of being out in noisy, drunken pubs late in the evening for years. So I don't want to use the word triggery. Because it doesn't make me want to drink. It more just makes me not want to be there.
Yeah.
It just kind of stresses me out a bit. But I get into this pub. I'm pretty hungry. And all of our friends are sitting around one table. And there's only one spare seat. But the route to that spare seat is blocked by a large guitar case. Yeah. Mm. That's leaning against it. So I look around. I could have just shifted it, like, gently. But out of politeness, I turned around. On the next table, I saw what appeared to be a band, right? Because they had other instruments as well. And they were sat together. It was two girls and a bloke. And so I turned to them and said, I'm assuming this is yours. Do you mind if I move it? And the girl, who's very polite, went to answer, but looked a bit nervously over at her male bandmate at this point. Now, he was a big lad with, I don't know if you're familiar with the comics, the Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers.
Yeah.
Right. He looked like one of them. He was a big, big bloke with a big sort of fuzzy kind of afro, white afro, right? And beard. So what else? Like, yeah, a bit like the Magic Numbers, I felt as well.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay. Perhaps it was.
Just trying to give you a sort of mental image. And she looked at him nervously. And I thought, I what's this? So I turned to him and he went, no, we have sorted, we have arranged for it to be there. It's all sorted. And I said, what do you mean? And we've already discussed it with those people on the table. And they said it was fine for us. I said, yeah. I said, it can stay there. I just need to get past it to sit in that seat. And he went, well, I'd rather you didn't, so just leave it. And I went, what? It was like so weird, right? It was so weird. I just got there. I'd literally just walked in. He was really like hostile. And I went, pardon? And he went, just leave it alone. I said, listen, I'm not going to damage it. I just need to shift it a very small amount to sit down. And he went, it's a very expensive piece of equipment. Just leave it alone, yeah? Just back away from it. Right? And I thought, fucking hell.
Move away from the instrument.
And that was the point where I just thought, this won't stand, right? So I just went, all right, I've asked you nicely. You can move it if you want for me. But if not, I'm fucking moving it. Or I'm climbing over it. And if it gets kicked over, that's your fucking lookout. And he went, what?
What was it, a guitar?
It was a guitar.
Was it in a case?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell, that's what a case is for.
We don't need to. We don't need to dig into whether or not it was. I mean, it was insane. Take that as a given. I mean, you have to understand. I was looking. I was not saying, "Can I pick your guitar up and play it?" I was really polite saying, "I just need to shift it a little bit." And you know what? I think 9 out of 10 people, because it was such a small maneuver, wouldn't have even asked. They would have just shifted it very gently and sat down because that's all it would have taken. But I asked out of politeness, and he was really, really hostile. So when he said, I said, right, I'm fucking moving it now. You've been really rude. I asked you politely. It's getting fucking moved. And as I said it, I thought to myself, okay, I've said that now. So now we'll find out where this is going to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. How invested he is in this. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, sometimes in situations like that, especially because I'm sober and everyone else is pissed, I sort of like feel like time slows down. And I sort of think to myself, I'm genuinely interested to find out what happens next. It's like reading one of those adventure books.
You are Britain's top journalist. You know, you seek out content. Sometimes you're the centre of the content, like Nick Broomfield or Louis Theroux.
I wasn't looking for content, but I did think to myself, I wonder
what
will happen.
Come on now, deep down, the content radar is always on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I was like, I don't like it when people... Do you know what, as well? So many people go around being fucking rude because 9 out of 10 people... I was telling my kids this last night, but they took the piss out of me for it. I said, the thing is, right, people go around being grumpy, being rude, being hostile, being, like, contrary. I said, and most of the time, they're doing it because they are operating on the assumption that no one wants to fucking get involved or make a scene. And as a result, they go around making other people fucking miserable. I said, so I actually sometimes enjoy being some, because I don't really get awkward or embarrassed in public situations. Mm. I sort of think, I will fucking call these cunts out because they go around and most people let them off the hook nonstop, right?
Yeah.
So I said, so this was part of the motivation, but don't forget as well, I was extremely hangry, right? He went, if you do that, and this was the point where sort of a grin spread across my face because I thought, right, what's he going to say, right? What's he going to say? And he went, if you do that, and I went, yeah, what? And he went, I will call the police.
Yes.
And at that moment, I thought, brilliant, he is insane, right? And I must admit, that was the point where I consciously did think, content alert. Right? So I said, you'll call the police? He went, yeah. I said, good, do it. And he went, what? And I went, fucking call them. I said, call them now and get them down, right? I said, it's Manchester on a Friday night. We're in the city centre. I'm sure this will be a priority. Tell them that someone's about to touch your fucking guitar case, right? I said, and I will fucking promise you now, I will wait for them to turn up. I'm not going anywhere. I said, I will pay...
player.
I will pay the fucking price, mate. And he's going, what, what, what? And I'm going, I will fucking face justice, right?
Blue is mine.
I'm going to move your guitar case, and then I'm going to wait for the fucking old Bill to turn up.
Wait for the consequences.
And he's like, he went, right, I'm fucking going to. And this is my favourite bit of the story, I would say. He got his phone out and hiding the screen from me, so turning it away from me, he proceeded to pound the screen with his index finger numerous times, right?
Numerous?
Yeah, like, it's like more than any phone number. What's the longest phone number?
Well, I know what the shortest phone number is, Sam. It's 999 for the police.
Yeah, exactly. But then I thought, well, maybe he doesn't think this is a 999 situation.
Yeah, maybe he's got memorised the number for the local station.
The local station. Yeah, I thought maybe he does this a lot. I did actually. I thought, well, if he's that mad that he's that quick to threaten that he's going to call the police, then he might have it memorised. Or maybe he's got a detective friend who he gets through to. He goes, I want you to run the numbers on this guy. I need you to run a plate for me. Right?
Yeah.
So he's pounding at us. I said, what are you doing? And he went, I'm calling them now. So then I like looked around. And he was like, gah! Trying to get like hide it from me, like a kid who's trying to hide their work from you in an exam. Get away, get off. I said, what are you doing? I said, that's not the number for the police. You've not even got the fucking keypad up. Call them. He said, you're going to call them. He went, right, I've had enough of this. At this stage, I've just moved the guitar, right, and sat down. And the way he looked at me when I did it, he was like, he was aghast. And he went, right, that's it, I'm getting the manager. So he stormed off to get the manager. What he didn't know was, I'd already laid some fucking groundwork with the manager earlier in the day. That was the fucking problem for him. Because I'd been in there earlier for a drink before the show, and it had been empty. And I'd had a nice chit-chat with the manager, who hadn't been the manager for a while, yeah? I'd given it the old, oh, what's this thing? Running a pub in Manchester, are ya? Yeah, nice business, isn't it? How's your trade going? And I'd given him all of that stuff, right? Because I'd turned up before my mate, and so I'd had time for a little chinwag. Then when I'd come back later, I'd been up to the bar to get some crisps first before I'd gone through this, and I'd asked him, he wasn't serving, and I said, look, mate, I'm not drinking. There's a huge fucking queue at the bar for drinks. I said, I just need some crisps because I haven't eaten. He went, I'm not serving, I'm the manager. And I said, look, I know you're the manager, but come on, sell me some crisps. I tell you what I'll do, I'll buy 5 bags off you, right? I said, then it's worth your while, right? Because I was going to share on the table.
Podcast big shot.
I was like, I'm from London. I'll buy all the fucking crisps you got, cunt.
Yeah, I'll buy 5 crisps every fucking day, mate.
And I told him it came to less than a fiver, but I had a £5 note because someone in Nottingham had given us 20 quid each.
Was it? Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I still had that Nottingham cash that someone had given us for some extra ticket sales on the door.
Walking around cash, yeah.
So I've fucking taken out one of my walking around fivers and given it, there you go, mate. And he goes, I'll get you a change. He said, don't worry about it. I appreciate you going to the effort. So by the time matey boy goes off and gets this manager, I think, fuck you, I've got this manager in my fucking pocket, you cunt. So he comes over and the manager goes, what's going on here? And I just went, look, I'll tell you exactly what's going on. I wanted to sit down, but his guitar was in the way, and he didn't want me to touch his guitar to move it, but I had to in order to sit down, and now he's called the police, and I just want to say that's perfectly fair enough, and I'm willing to wait here for the police to arrive.
Absolutely.
For them to assess this situation.
Act accordingly,
and he looked at the bloke and rolled his eyes, and he just went, look, mate, why don't you just let me keep the guitar out the back in my office? It'll be locked safe there. And the bloke's gone, no, I have asked the people if it can be lent there, and that is where it will remain. No one will touch it. But he has been physically intimidating to me, which I was like, whoa, 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 hang on. There was no physical intimidation, mate. You're about fucking twice the bloody size of me anyway, you cunt. So if anyone should be intimidated, it should be me, right? I said, there's no intimidation. I've just touched your guitar. I apologise, but no harm done. And he went to the manager. Do you know what he said to the manager? He said, if you don't throw him out, I'm not playing.
Oh, so he was a bit of a player there, yeah?
That, yeah. And the manager just went, well, all right, do what you want. Right?
Yes. So,
and the guy just stomped off. He stomped off in the end.
The manager's
to the
like,
other side of the pub.
The manager's like, oh my God, where will I find another guitarist in Manchester?
On a Friday night. So that bloke didn't know what to do then. He was caught between a rock and a hard place because it was clear I wasn't going to be moved. It was clear he hadn't really called the police. He'd just pounded at his phone screen, at his lost phone
finger.
Screen. So I'd called his police bluff and the manager was just like, I'm not fucking throwing a high roller like him out. He's just bought five packets of crisps and let me keep the change. I can't afford that. I was like one of those high rollers in Vegas who they comp.
Yeah.
This guy, they call him the Crisp Baron. We got to keep him here. If not, he'll be down the road at some other pub buying their crisps.
But
so,
part of the manager's mindset will have been, hang on, has this guy not just deliberately bought five crisps to curry favour with me?
He's like,
and then
he's
doing
I know
what
how
he wants
these
after that.
These operate.
Yeah.
He's waltzed in.
Cockney.
First thing he's done is buy a load of fucking crisps. And yeah. Then he's gone and started causing trouble with the clientele straight away. It is the equivalent of punching the biggest guy in the prison.
Because he's bought this some goodwill. Five bags of Golden Wonder.
One of my Cockney mates called me before I said, here you're going up north. Yeah, that's right. Do a few shows. Yeah, watch yourself when you're up there. Little tip for you when you're up north. When you're going in one of their boozers, make a statement. As soon as you go in, buy as many crisps as you can. Right? I know you're not a drinker. Usually I'd say buy a bottle of scotch, but I know you're not a drinker, so just buy as many crisps as you can, right? That way, if you want to go and start causing trouble and cunting off the locals, you'll have the manager on side. These are the little tricks you've got to know when you're operating up north, son. Stick with that and you'll be fine. Yeah, exactly. Chris Money talks up there, mate. You don't want to end up in a northern nick, do you?
It's a very, very snack-based system up there.
Different to the way we do things. I said, thanks a lot for the tip, mate. And I called him. I said, thanks for that tip. It really worked last night.
And if you go to the Lake District, a tea bay, have a look out for Taylor Swift because she might be in there.
Apparently she's operating in that region now.
She goes down, does the pub quiz down at the pub every Thursday night.
They do some lovely blankets as well,
like
by the way.
Like Sade down here.
It's pricey. It's pricey, but get yourself a blanket at tea bay. It'll fucking pay for itself in comfort returns.
Fucking hell. So
the guitarist, just he didn't know what to do, so he stomped off to the other end of the pub and he just sat on his own at the bar, seething, right? And I thought, you silly cunt, you've penalised yourself.
Yeah.
You're not even near the guitar now. We could be doing anything. I could have stuck my cock in that guitar.
Didn't take the guitar with him?
No.
I didn't give him that much of a fuck, did he?
Listen, if I'd been a cunt, I could have done anything to that guitar, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, to be honest, I thought, this bloke's touched in the nut, right, for starters. So I've sort of sympathised with him. And I just sort of thought, also, you know, I respected the fact that he was a musician and that his guitar was important to him. That's why I was gentle with the guitar. Even after I lost my rag with him, I didn't start fucking chucking it about. But I did have a word with his bandmates afterwards. I leant in. I said, sorry about all that, a bit weird. And they were like, listen, we are very used to situations like this.
Jesus
and
Christ.
I went, oh, yeah. And they went, yeah. They said, he's a good guitarist, but it's very difficult to be out and about with him because we often find ourselves in these situations. And they apologised to me. So that was that. But our Manchester pals who we were with, because it was a noisy pub, they couldn't hear the exact nature of the conversation. So as far as they were concerned, they'd come to see our show. Then they said to meet me afterwards. And I'd fucking turned up in this pub. And just immediately launched into, if you couldn't hear the dialogue, it just appeared that I had sort of squared up to a big musician and started shouting the odds, then had a row with the manager, and then they thought, well, what's Delaney's?
Yeah,
and I just went, sorry, lads, I haven't fucking eaten since about 11 o'clock. What do you expect?
What's the podcaster playing at, throwing his weight around?
In this rock and roll pub.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, Manchester Friday night, I mean, I wasn't there for that because I'd gone to take the wigs back to me travel lodge. So I turned up after this all happened. But Friday night in Manchester for me, that was the night that I realised I am no longer of an age where I should be in pubs in a city on a weekend. That was just too much.
Totally, yeah. It was like, way too much. We ended up in two separate pubs. And I was like, yeah. I haven't been in this situation in years in a late night pub. Really crowded. I don't understand. So crowded. Like, why do people want to be in such a crowded place? I mean, if you want to go out for a drink with your mates, sure. But what's the appeal of being in a dirty, crowded room?
Try to find really the quietest noisy. Place you can. Try fucking whatever. Oh, hotel bar.
Awful.
I mean, drink in a car park if you have to, which brings us to the second story, but we'll have that on Monday because we're out of time.
Yeah.
So come back on Monday, you'll probably hear the car park people and maybe the massage story as well. We haven't done the predictions this international weekend. We'll try and do them later on and put them up on the Twitter.
Yeah.
I couldn't be asked to get them together before this episode. So we'll be back Monday with more stories from the tour. Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
All the best.